This is an ABC podcast.
I like listening to the birds, I think because it's not a sound that I can hear all the time because of those high frequency noises, and that's where my hearing loss is at. And I don't know what those particular birds are, but they're kind of like a dove. You know that ooh, ooh kind of noise? You know that one? So I get excited when it is something other than that sound. But the birds actually aren't on my bucket list.
This is 38-year-old Kylie Webb. She lives in Melbourne and works in the health sector. And she has a condition known as neurofibromatosis type 2. Or simply NF2.
It basically means that you can grow tumours, which are mostly benign, so non-cancerous tumours, at the end of any nerve ending. So for me, I have tumours on the hearing nerve, and that means that I will become deaf. Before that happens, I have put together a bucket list of sounds that I want to commit to memory and be able to hear before I do become deaf.
I'm Miyuki Okiranta, and today on Earshot, a question. What sounds are important to you? Sat down to write her sonic bucket list not long after learning about her condition. There were 11 items on it. Things like an opera performance in Italy, the roar of a crowd at an MCG footy match, and her voice as it echoes down a mountain. Now, she only has 4 items left. Producer Sam Loy travels with Kylie as she ticks those last precious items off the list.
I have put the sounds of the beach on my bucket list because it, especially over the last 18 years or so, it's always been a special place for me to visit.
Growing up, Kylie's mum, Bernie, hated the beach, and Kylie and her 2 siblings hardly ever got to go when they were young. A dedicated single mum, Bernie, hardened to most things in life, couldn't stand the sand. And it wasn't until Kylie moved from the country to Melbourne that she really started visiting the beach on a regular basis.
And I suppose a lot of it with the water, it comes back to my childhood. So I had ovarian cancer when I was 16, and one of the only places that I was ever on my own was when I was in the shower. And I think that's where I associate water now is my time, like peace kind of time. I'm pretty sure that even after I can no longer hear the sounds of the waves, that I'll still come to the beach because I'll still have those visual cues. And that's the whole idea of my bucket list, is to remember what it sounds like to hear the water splashing up on the sand, what it is to hear seagulls and kids and just the sound of the water.
Kylie had fought and beat her cancer, but then years later began to develop this ringing in her ears.
And the doctor put it down to a side effect from the chemotherapy that I had. It wasn't persistent ringing in the ears. It was kind of, it was there 1 minute, kind of gone the next.
Kylie put up with that ringing in her ears for close to a decade, until in 2014 she went along to a Casey Chambers concert.
Well, I kind of knew after the concert that something wasn't right because of that, the hollow kind of tunnel sound that I had and the high-pitched, constant ringing that just does not stop.
Despite her best efforts to ignore it, the ringing soon became bad enough that Kylie was having trouble sleeping at night and concentrating during the day. So a trip down the medical rabbit hole led to some MRIs, which revealed tiny tumours on her spine and auditory nerves, the hallmarks of NF2. When she first heard her diagnosis, Kylie consulted Dr. Google to get all the information she could.
Like, all these words that flash out at you is deaf, palsy, not being able to walk. And it was just that whole deafness that just kept jumping out. And I think that was the thing that I was most scared of, is how would I live in a world where I can't hear when I know what it's like to hear.
The tumours discovered along her spine posed an immediate threat to Kylie's health, so she had an operation to remove them soon after receiving the diagnosis. And then, in the months and years that followed, the ringing in Kylie's ears increased while she heard less and less of the world around her.
3 years after the diagnosis, they discovered on the MRI that the left acoustic neuroma had grown double in such a short period of time. So a decision was made to remove that acoustic neuroma. They basically remove and sever that hearing nerve so you're deaf, that you can't hear anything anymore.
Kylie has MRIs every 6 months, and these provide an update on how the tumours are growing. With the auditory nerve in her left ear already severed, it was originally thought she'd have an operation on the right one in early 2020. But slower than expected growth of the tumours meant a temporary reprieve. It won't last forever. It might be soon, it might be in another 6 months, or maybe even a couple of years. But sooner or later, Kylie will take a trip to her specialist, where she'll be told that the time has come. And then, it will be the surgeon's scalpel, not Kylie's NF2, that will ultimately transform her world into a silent one.
It took me quite a while to write the bucket list. It wasn't something that I just sat down and did overnight. It's not until you're told that you're not going to be able to hear things that you start thinking about all the sounds that you'd like.
We're standing in Rosalind Park in the central Victorian city of Bendigo. It's Kylie's hometown, and we're here to meet the head member of the Bendigo Highland Pipe Band.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for coming down.
Yeah. Same as well,
yeah,
is it?
There you go.
The bagpipes are another of Kylie's bucket list items, but not because they hold some deeper meaning for her or some connection to her past. She just likes the way they sound.
I don't know whether I heard it like I would have once upon a time, like at the stage where it was Amazing Grace and I knew that it was coming up to that high note, I thought, oh, this will be interesting. And it probably sounded different to me to what it would have to you. Then I kind of got so immersed in the sound that I forgot that anybody was around.
Is something like that always happened? Like you always felt like you could just get lost in an experience like that?
Probably not, no, because I don't think I valued sound prior to my diagnosis. Like I would hear it, but I wouldn't actually hear it. Whereas now I'm appreciative of the sound and I do think about what it is that I'm listening to.
with every bucket list item that I've done, it is the memory of it and the whole experience rather than the sound itself. I think about how I got there in the first place, what was happening around me, who I was with, and what that meant. Like, it's that whole committing those sounds to memory so that when my world is silent, that I can look back and think, that's how that made me feel. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to draw on that memory and even still in a weird way be able to still hear it, if that makes any sense.
I think that sound can act like a bookmark for our memories, invoking moments past or feelings we had in our youth. But I don't assume that many of us are actually thinking about these sounds in terms of their pitch or their frequency. Like, if you hear this, some might hear it as two musical notes, E and F, played on multiple cellos. But I think for most of us, we're just going to hear the main shark theme from Jaws. And that could bring up any number of emotions and memories of things past. You know, most of us aren't unpacking the audio that we hear and dissecting it with technical expertise. We just hear something, and our response to that sound can help us hang on to that moment. It's like Kylie won't remember the frequencies she missed from the bagpipes or the notes that she did hear. What she will remember is standing on the grass in the centre of her hometown while a stranger played a private concert for her on his bagpipes.
So just thank you so much.
Thank you. I will certainly remember it. Yeah. I worry about the little things that we take for granted being understood, you know, in the situation where you're buying groceries or just a little thing like that, on how hard life is when you can't communicate with somebody and that, you know, they can't communicate back with you. I already have a sense of that.
And that's what I've got. Okay, handshake clockwise for hour.
Kylie dealt with the reality of her condition years ago, and so she's been making some practical preparations for when she'll no longer be able to hear.
Okay, do we want to do a sentence before we go over them?
Obviously can read lips. I've been doing that for a lot of years that I didn't even realise that that was a skill that or something that I was doing. But I want to be able to communicate. I want to be able to have a conversation with somebody in what my normality will be. And if that is signing, then so be it. I want to be able to do that.
Every Monday, Kylie meets with some workmates for a self-guided lesson in sign language.
The heck are we going to remember that?
So I think probably where it started was different to where it's transitioned to now.
This is Sharon, one of Kylie's workmates who takes the class. They're also really close friends outside of work.
So back at the start, I think I wanted to be supportive and I wanted to be a good friend because communication's a two-way street and you can be talking at me in Auslan. If I can't get it, it's not going to be any point. So that's kind of what started it. And then it just transitioned in, like, it just became this really fun thing. Like, I really treasure our Monday nights together. You know, we have such a good time.
Lovely. Now you're getting somewhere.
When you have a friend, you want to be able to interact with your friend. And so, you know, this is what we see as being the path to help us communicate in the long term. So, yeah, it's really important to me.
When I first found out about NF2, I did a lot of research on the internet, which I shouldn't have done. You know, here I am, I've survived ovarian cancer to then have NF and everything's doom and gloom. But I try not to think like that anymore.
To that end, Kylie has been volunteering and fundraising for cancer research for years. She's currently making gift cards to raise money for the Children's Tumour Foundation, with whom she does the bulk of her work.
You know, you can either
stay in bed and wallow about it, or you get up and keep living and make a positive out of the negative. I think that's why the whole money raising thing has come from. It's, you know, trying to turn a shitty situation into, you know, something positive, something good.
If you've ever been to Bendigo, it's hard to assume that the cathedral didn't catch your eye. It looms large over its surrounds and greets visitors on the road into town. And we're here so Kylie can tick another item off her bucket list.
I've always wanted to get married in the cathedral. It's massive. It's a beautiful part of Bendigo. I'm not religious by any means. I fluctuate in what I believe in. So it doesn't come down to a religious thing, it's just the beauty of it. The first thing that I did think about was it wasn't as loud as what I thought it would be up there. It wasn't something that you couldn't handle. It was actually beautiful. And I've always loved the cathedral, but I suppose when I did go there in my early teens, like for high school, that was where we would go to the church services. So whether it be the opening mass, the start of the school year, or the closing. Back then, you don't kind of appreciate that sort of stuff. You're just fidgeting, you're doing anything but listening to what's going on. Whereas now, you know, it's that kind of stuff that you really do want to listen to. And I'd like to think that even if I wasn't going to lose my hearing, that I would still love the sound of that organ, because it is pretty spectacular.
Tagging along with Kylie as she ticks off her sound bucket list, I'm suddenly aware of the extent that I take my own hearing for granted. As an audio producer, it's a means to an end. As a music lover, it's the way that I get Tom Waits into my head. And as a dad, it's how I can tell if mischief is afoot in the next room. But the importance of sound is far more nuanced and profound than these practicalities. Because sound allows us to explore our surrounds, to gain an understanding of the world and the people in it. And ultimately, it can lead us to a greater sense of ourselves. The sound of the organ meant nothing to Kylie, but now it does. And so it serves as not only a reminder of the person she was in her high school days, but also of the fact that that person has changed and that all of our lives evolve and forever move forward. When you first wrote your bucket list, what was at the top?
So there was really no question on what the first sound or the top sound was going to be, and that was having my child call me mummy. I couldn't imagine that there would be any greater sound than that.
We're at Kylie's mum's place in the Bendigo suburbs. Bernie has just got home from the nearby hospital where she works. Kylie sometimes calls her Ma Pa on account of the fact that Bernie performed the dual roles of mum and dad to her kids.
As a baby, she was absolutely beautiful, even into the toddler stage. And, yeah, look, all the way through, she was a good girl until she got to about 12. And then she decided she would rebel a little bit. I don't know why she did that, but, yeah, she had a couple of years where she was very trying. And then she got sick, so she had to grow up very, very quickly.
Kylie got sick when she was 14, and the doctors at first didn't know why she was having these intense pain and cramps. Then, when they discovered the cancer in her ovaries, the doctors believed Kylie wouldn't survive.
I came home to pack a bag so that I could actually stay at the hospital that night, and no one here. The other two kids had gone over to my sister's. There was no one else here, and the doctor rang me and told me that they would take her back to a full hysterectomy and you'll take her home and you'll just enjoy her, that they didn't give her any hope. And it was absolutely devastating, absolutely devastating.
But on the advice of a different doctor who took an interest in Kylie's case, that operation was cancelled. Instead, Kylie fought.
And there she had 9 months of grueling chemo and come out the other side.
I only had one ovary left after the cancer, and back then it wasn't a known thing to freeze eggs, and I was like, you know, 14 and a half, 15. It wasn't even something that went through, obviously, my mum's mind, certainly wasn't in my mind, so, you know, it wasn't given a thought.
After she had the cancer, she always said, "I don't want children." And I thought, it's probably just talk, just a brave talk. But, yeah, once she hit 23, 24 and the yearn started.
With only one viable ovary, falling pregnant was difficult for Kylie. So as her 30s approached, she and her then-partner began IVF treatment.
And then the medication and the drugs alone just put too much of a strain on the ovary, and it basically just went kaput. I went into early menopause.
To me, it was like, well, that's it then. That's going to be the end of that. But no, not for Kylie. Kylie approached her younger sister and said, you know, do you want to help me out?
That help meant Kylie's sister undergoing IVF treatment herself. The plan was that Kylie's sister would provide the eggs, and once fertilised, each egg would be transferred back to Kylie.
She rang me at one stage and she said, "Mum, I can't stand the smell of certain things." And I thought, oh, my God, it's happened. And right up to the day that she went into her 12th week, she still had all the symptoms of pregnancy. Everything was still there, you know. I remember I said to her, "It's fine. Let's just go and listen to that beautiful heartbeat." Yes, and then it was gone.
After a lot of years of IVF, I had resigned myself to the fact that being a mum wasn't going to be a possibility, so I was never going to hear a child of mine call me mummy.
Tell me about finding out that your sister was pregnant.
I was not expecting it. And it took all my might to smile and do the usual me of, you know, putting on that brave face and saying all the wonderful things, and, "Oh, I'm so excited for you." And the minute I hung up, I just sobbed. I remember sobbing and sobbing, thinking, "Oh, my God, how am I going to do this?" But I remember waking up the morning that she was born And my mum had called and she said, "She's here, she's here." And I'm like, "Who's here?" She goes, "The baby." So instantly it just all fell into place. I'm like, "Oh my God, that's so exciting." And everything that I was so worried about, being jealous and not being able to even like the baby, I've never been able to hold babies. But I didn't even think about that as I walked into that hospital room, because I was excited. So now Sophie calling me Auntie Kylie is number one on the bucket list.
Kylie's niece Sophie is now 15 months old, but due to COVID-19 restrictions, we were unable to see her while putting this story together. But Kylie does have a lot of videos.
Is it still this sort of race against time, or do you feel pretty confident that you're going to hear her say it?
I don't think I'd ever be 100% confident until she did say it. Only because I know what my hearing has been like, my luck is like. Once upon a time, there was, you know, this anxiety that she needed to grow up really quickly. But because I see her saying so many things, and that, you know, she is fairly clever for her age, I keep hoping that it's going to be soon.
Go on.
Obviously, you know, this whole COVID thing, and no, I don't want her to forget who I am. And I wouldn't want to hear it the first time through the phone. I want it to be in person.
Why is that?
I think it means so much more. I was there the first time that she said Nana and to my mum, and just like seeing that priceless look on my mum's face, I can imagine that that's going to be me.
Are you talking to Auntie Kylie? Me?
A bucket list of sounds was produced by Sam Loy. The sound engineer was Selwyn Cousins. It featured original music by Kent Sutherland. The Children's Tumour Foundation is the leading charity in Australia supporting individuals and families affected by all forms of neurofibromatosis. It's also where Kylie volunteers her time. Check them out online to find out more, or make a donation. We'll post the details on our website. And if you'd like to hear more of Sam's work, check out his podcast, Human Ordinary. I'm Miyu Kiyoki-Ranta. Join me again next week for another fascinating tale told within earshot.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.